you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Monday, February 5th, 2018, the first Monday in February. And joining me in the studio, two dear, dear friends. In fact, the other day, Kathleen, we had that celebration for our Great News Radio Theater troupe. I guess that was Thursday night. Yeah, Thursday night last week. And it was fun getting most all the cast. I know a few couldn't make it, but I think there's about 40 or 50 of us in the food court here at Lincoln Square. And thank you, God, for the Olive Garden restaurant, how they catered all sorts of food, that brazen beef tips and pasta with the cheese or something in it. Do you know what those things are called? It's kind of like, not a ravioli, but it's, well, anyways, it's really tasty. We had lasagna, we had spaghetti. Some pasta and spaghetti, yes, mm-hmm. And then the breadsticks and the salads and other fixins and those little mints. So we had a great meal on Friday night, but it got us talking about It's a Wonderful Life because we're handing out the CDs to the cast members. And Kathleen, you may remember, did those special readings a few months back. So that was great. And then she was saying, so how's the February edition of the Prime Life Times? I said, we just received it. Might you be available for the Monday edition of Mark and French? And she said, well, I do have some appointments over that way. I could come in and read. And we have John. I didn't get this microphone. Hey, pull this microphone over, John, and say hi to the Great News Radio listeners this morning. John's the chairman of our board of the radio ministry. So
greetings to everyone. I hope you have a great week, as great as I'm planning on having.
Positive thinking.
Absolutely.
So John has served as our board chair, I guess, about 4, 5, 6 months now.
Yeah, I'm a veteran.
Veteran. He's earned his stripes. And he and Kathleen supporting this radio ministry from the very beginning.
In fact, it was just a thought.
It was a thought. In fact, it was a mention from Dr. Bruce Dunn. Many of you have heard that story. Our covenant group was meeting every couple of weeks at the home of the Dunns, and you guys were a part of that. And in Dr. Dunn's typical fashion, besides saying, it's in the book, it's in the book, he'd teach a Sunday school lesson or he'd preach and he'd always refer to, it's in the book, it's in God's Word. Well, one time he shared, you know, I've been praying up and thinking about, why isn't there another Christian radio station in this area with more traditional music and Bible teaching? And we're kind of like, eh. And he said, be praying about that. That was his prayer request. And I clearly remember, like, eh, that was kind of my attitude. Now there's BGL, why do we need another station? And 2 weeks later, he again shared that prayer request and was a very dynamic Bible teacher. You would say he finished well till
yes,
his very end of
yes.
the days of his life. He was still engaged and involved with Twin City Bible Church at the time as he retired after pastoring, I think, 40-plus mm-hmm. years at the Grace Church in Peoria. And then the Grace Worship Hour, I think, was his mm-hmm. radio program for many years. And you saw in the Dunn's house that note from Billy Graham saying that Dr. Bruce Dunn was his favorite radio pastor. Can you imagine getting wow. a letter from Billy Graham, the Billy Graham, saying that you're his favorite on-air radio pastor? Mm-hmm. And so that was framed in the Dunn home. All to say that Dr. Bruce Dunn was very instrumental, as was Dave and Lisa Dunn, and then the Jennings. We were all there that one time where he said, well, you know, Mark, I'm praying up that God's going to, and yeah, that God's going to raise you up to oversee this project. And I was like, whoa, this is getting personal. I better start praying. And he got me connected with the Moody Broadcasting Network, said, go meet up with my friend Bob Neff. He's the vice president of broadcasting. And that was just the beginning of some miraculous things that God pulled it all together. Then, don't you know, as only God could time things, Dr. Bruce Dunn goes to be with the Lord a few months later. Just after I began initiating with the Moody Broadcasting Network, and then he gets inducted into the Radio Broadcasters Hall of Fame that following, I guess it was January of 1994, because mm-hmm. I just got done completing the Urbana 93 Missions Convention, mm-hmm. and so Dave and Lisa Dunn says, why don't you join us and receive the award on behalf of our dad, their dad, Dr. Bruce Dunn, because he'd been with the Lord, and the Radio Broadcasters Hall of Fame was inducting. And what is it? How do you say the word? Posthumously?
Yeah.
Posthumously.
Yes. So anyways, we went there, and that's where we met Dick Van Zandt. He was the president of Cornerstone Community Radio, and He had been praying up, bringing a new frequency to our area. And so many of you have heard parts of that story, but the Jennings were a part of that when we were sitting in the living room having prayer requests, and Dr. Bruce Dunn began saying, praying for a new radio station in this area. So that would take us back to like 1993, the very beginning stages. And 94, we began praying it up. 95, we developed a board because we needed to get incorporated and to move forward on the radio frequency. And then April 7th, Easter Sunday, 1996, we went on the air broadcasting on 102.5 FM. So, actually, I'm glad you guys got here early because we were talking up memories and Israel trips and future trips and God at work through this radio ministry. And I know, John, this Thursday you're going to be coming and kind of witnessing or observing the English conversation classes.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think last Thursday night you were sitting with Kurt and Deb Bobson and then Nancy Miller, and they're all teachers, instructors, facilitators.
I just couldn't get over some of the fun things that they were talking about and how delightful the people were to work with.
Yeah, you get hooked. Many times I have a first-timer come and sit in my group, and I've never had somebody that sat through a session as a part of my group that didn't then become a volunteer and become a regular. I think almost all of them have sat through one session with me with how we do the timers. Usually it's two or three sessions, so they get trained a little. But Kurt, I knew once I could get him, you know, involved, and Kurt's also on our board, and the group, oh, we're so honored to have you, Kurt. And they're just like, oh, he's hooked, I can tell. And it's a sweet bunch. I think this last week we again had 24, 25 instructors. In fact, this past Thursday, I had two people from Temple Baptist Church. Oh. And I don't know if I told you this yet, John, but... And by the way, we have Kathleen Jennings in here because she wrote a great story in the Prime Life Times, and we will have time for her to read that in its entirety, so stay with us for the next 10 or 15 more minutes. But Temple Baptist Church, the pastor a couple weeks ago came here on a Thursday night, and he said, now, don't you have English conversation classes? I said, no, that's Thursday day. It's from 10 to noon. He's like, oh, well, the scuttlebutt is that there's exciting things happening over here, and I wanted to see it for myself. And I'm like, really? He said, yeah, that's the word on the street that you have a real effective program going on, and I wanted to see what it was all about. And I said, we have 70, 80-plus people come in on a regular basis every Thursday now. And so he said, well, could I send two people that are part of our missions team that help out with our English conversation classes? Could they come and observe? And I said, sure, send them. You know, this is when we meet. So this last Thursday, this husband and wife team showed up. One is a retired pastor. I don't know if he was a retired pastor from that church or a retired pastor that attends there. Mm-hmm. But he sat in with my group, and then his wife sat with Nancy Miller. Oh. And they were just kind of intrigued, and they got to see how we had like 40 or so students here and another 30 or 40 over at the other end of the mall. And they were pretty impressed, and they said, wow, this is an undertaking. I said, yeah, it's like 25 teachers now, teachers, facilitators, helpers. Everyone's just about paired up, so every table has at least two, and I think we have close to 15, 16 different groups. So it is a great undertaking, all to say that you're going to come as the chairman of our radio board and observe and see, and you've heard some good things are happening. But
yes, I have.
And then he'll probably be back.
Yeah, I think so. Well, both of you would be naturals. You have a heart for internationals. You have a heart for people. You love Jesus, and so it's a good mix. And you're known for writing articles. This is your fourth contribution?
This is the fourth one, yes.
So now the theme of your articles, I'm turning to what page are we? Oh, there we are. Who's that storyteller on the page next to you?
Yes. I'm not sure.
He doesn't have a picture, though.
No, but I think his initials are M.B.
M.B. Milton Bradley.
There you go.
Okay. People and places from generations to generations. In fact, I don't know if it was last Wednesday or Friday, but Pastor Jason Schiffel, he said some years ago, while attending Bible study fellowship at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy, I guess he found in a pew a summary or a book or a pamphlet that was talking about the generations. And I said, I think Kathleen Jennings was a part of that.
Yes,
was that,
I wrote
like,
that.
Was, it was a booklet, right? Was that?
No, he probably found a single paper that had the story. I believe he said that it was Martin Purdue.
Okay,
the story about Martin Purdue.
Yes, it was.
About Sonny, yeah. And we had a program there at the church. We had a speaker come in and we did a series. It was for about 6 weeks, mm-hmm. talking about the different generations. And I interviewed people from, the generation of those that went to fight in World War II. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Martin was one of those. And so it came from that.
He was really impressed because he said, and I think on Wednesday or Friday we talked about the importance of seniors not disengaging and going and living at the, what's that, the retirement home in Florida that everyone goes to, the Gates,
the Villages.
The Villages. Yeah. I got it wrong last week too, but that we need our seniors and their stories are important. And he was impressed by seeing that church was recounting some of those stories, those testimonies, those life experiences that we need to hear about and learn about. And so you were doing that, and think, as we were talking about finding some more content contributors, mm-hmm. some authors or people that could write up stories, we thought, might you entertain the idea of doing that? And so you've been doing that now these last 3 months, and this is your fourth.
Yes, this is the fourth one.
And this is on who?
This is about Velma Gadbury.
Okay. Know Velma well. She listens to the station all the time.
She does.
Regular supporter. Thank you, Velma.
Yes, and Velma's a good friend. We've been in Sunday school and Bible studies together. Mm-hmm. And she grew up locally, and this is her story, or a part of her story.
And I see there's a picture of a classroom, and you could say that's probably like one of those one-room schoolhouses where children of different ages and old-fashioned. The girls all have dresses on and a lot of books in there, the chalkboard. Kind of a fun picture, probably from the
40s. It would be from the early 40s.
Okay.
It would be from the early 40s, yes. Oak Grove School.
Oak Grove School. And this is called Gifts of the Heart. And this is under From Generation to Generation, Character Really Does Matter, a series by Kathleen Jennings, and you've titled this Gifts of the Heart.
Yes. During the first few weeks of a new year, I often find myself reorganizing drawers and boxes filled with family photos and memorabilia. My objective, of course, is to pass along items to others while making my surroundings neater and more efficient. I must admit, however, that my keep pile is usually twice as big as the other piles combined. The challenge is not the objects themselves, but the memories they evoke. How do I return valentines made with colored paper and bits of cloth and ribbon given to me by my children when they were young? Certainly I can't throw away the prettiest shell on the beach, lovingly given to me by a 5-year-old grandchild. While speaking with my friend Velma Gadbury, I asked her about some of the memories she keeps close to her heart. One of 6 children, Velma grew up in Piatt County, Illinois. She began first grade in 1938 at the age of 5, when she and her older brother and sister walked to a country school near Monticello. Later that year, the family moved to a farm near Cisco, where they walked about a half mile to Oak Grove School. I remember the long brown socks my sister and I had to wear in the winter to keep warm. We didn't like them, but we did what our parents asked us to do. Velma smiled as she told me that at school the children received supplemental food, usually canned pork and beans and canned grapefruit. What a treat it was for our lunch. We generally brought peanut butter sandwiches from home. Now, I didn't appreciate the value of a good peanut butter sandwich then, but I do now. Growing up, Velma knew little of the events in Europe. During World War II, her oldest brother, Eldon, was in the Air Force and spent part of his service in India. Whenever letters came from him, she said there was a lot of crying. Reflecting on those years, Velma acknowledges how strange it seems that while she lived in a secure home in America, in Germany and other areas in Europe, families were being torn apart and murdered by a despot named Adolf Hitler. Velma believes that because the war followed so closely after the Great Depression, many people knew what it was to work with the resources they already had available. rationing became a part of her family's daily life. Living on a farm was beneficial during the Depression and certainly during the war. In addition to grain, her father raised cattle and hogs. Her mother had a large garden, and during the growing season they had enough fresh vegetables for the table, as well as for canning. Velma's mother made sure her children went to church, and when Velma was 8 or 9, one of her teachers, Mrs. Husmaster, told her, "God can do anything." This made a great impression on her, and she believes made her open to the gospel years later. Velma told me recently, "It's very clear to me that I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." Hmm. That's from Philippians 4:13. Because fabric was scarce, Velma's mother made clothes for her daughters using feed sack material, usually cotton with floral prints and colored designs. Learning to knit, her mother also fashioned a beautiful dress of dark green variegated yarn that buttoned all the way down the front, and it was lengthened as Velma grew taller.
Hmm.
She wore it as often as she could, and it's a gift she wishes she still had. Of course, one of Velma's memories is making valentines during her elementary school years, using paper and ribbons and special verses for special friends. Later on, her own children exchanged purchased valentines with their classmates at school. Her granddaughter Jenny and young great-grandson Liam, however, have reverted to the old days and make many of their own special cards. She expects a homemade Valentine's Day card from them this year.
Hmm.
Now, Velma might keep memory-evoking items in drawers and boxes as I do, but there's one Valentine memory she stores in her heart. You see, this has to do with her best Valentine gift ever, a gift that has been a joy throughout the years. Her firstborn, a son, Robin, weighing in at a healthy 9 pounds, 9 ounces, was born on Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
By Kathleen Jennings, currently living in Mahomet, Illinois, is a watercolor artist who loves history and researching personal stories of World War II. She can be contacted at kathleen@watchmenonthewall.com. Some of those that love our trips to Israel know about the Watchmen on the Walls, and you actually picked that out for that very reason, because you want to be one of those watchmen, one of those people that proclaim God's good news message to the world.
That's right.
Kind of a keeper of the faith. And I love this article. This is on page 9 of the February edition of the Prime Life Times. It begins with the photo of Kathleen Jennings with her hat on. And at the very bottom of this, there's a cute little... So this is the 9 pound, 9 ounces.
Yes, that's Robin.
Baby Robin, with his little thumb in his mouth, I think.
And you know, one of the other pictures is a favorite of mine. It's a picture of a note that Velma's dad, Roy Miner, gave her in 1944.
And it's dated. It shows April 30th. It looks like 1944. Handwritten note.
And it says, "Dear Velma, when you get old, don't forget to remember your dear old dad."
It's signed by her dad.
Yes. And I thought, well, you know, it wasn't exactly a Valentine's card, but I mean, it was quite a request.
Yeah, it's a great keepsake, and I'm sure many of our listeners can identify with, like, what do you throw out? Because all these things, the children, the grandchildren, and I've had some things on my closet that Esther taped up for about 3 or 4 years now, and Holly comes in like, "Are you going to keep those up there?" And I'm like, "But those were handmade, and they're unique and fun and colorful." And
oh, I still have a little clay figure of an elephant that Anne, our daughter, made for us and gave us. And then I've got a little pot, a clay pot, that our son Christopher made, along with rocks.
Yes.
And special rocks that they've given me and different things. The dandelions they picked, of course, are gone.
I don't
keep those.
Well, this is the February edition of the Prime Life Times, and you might be looking at the front page. You maybe have a copy in front of you. We have a number of people that have subscribed. It does cost $20, and that just covers basically the cost to mail it to you for 12 editions over the year. But we are now calling this Volume 2, Issue 2, because when we acquired it the last 2 months of last year, that was officially Volume 1, and then Issue 1 and 2, and now we're into the second year, 2018, and so now this being February is Volume 2, Issue 2, in case some people wonder why the change, because it used to be like Volume 6, and that's because when the new graphic designer took it over 5 or 6 years ago, she started Volume 1 for her. And so even though this paper has been published for the last almost 27 years, since 1999, we're just now beginning our Volume 2, Issue 2, but we're excited to get this Valentine's edition into your hands, and so you can stop by over 100-plus area locations, and you can find out more at primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com. There's a distribution page, or if you maybe want to subscribe, you can do that and send in your $20, and that covers a year's subscription, the next 12 months, and we'll be happy to send this off to you. But thank you, Kathleen. Thank you, John, for being available and being so vested in this radio ministry, supporting it, volunteering, helping with the upcoming Israel trip in October. I'll do a quick little shout-out in our closing couple seconds here, but on Friday night, February 23rd, I think we're going to do it at 7 o'clock here at the Great News Radio Center. We're going to have an Israel Interest Night. We'll have a little teaching and some fun information about Israel. But those that are wanting to make a pilgrimage in October, October 3rd through the 13th, they can find out all about that trip. So that'll be on Friday night, February 23rd here at the Great News Radio Center. And we'll close out saying Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. This is an early, early Valentine's gift to you all from us here at Great News Radio. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.